This is our final lesson in the overview of the book of Romans. We'll be covering chapters 15 and 16 this morning. I'm going to try and say as much as I possibly can with saying as little as I possibly can. But I have greatly enjoyed our study through the book of Romans. Hope it's been a blessing to you. So this has been our overview in the book of Romans. Paul has logically and methodically taken us through our guilt, has brought us to the point of salvation. Through our salvation, we are justified, meaning we are pardoned. There is no way to be pardoned without salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins outside of Jesus Christ. He is, the Bible tells us, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if your path and what you think gets you to salvation and that does not go right through Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but according to the scriptures and the authority of God, you've been misguided. Praise the Lord, we're going to see some people by the end that took their service to the Lord very serious. Paul commends them, speaks of them, and so as we go through. But there will be one couple that reaches out to a man that felt like he was doing everything right until he heard a more perfect way. And thankful for, maybe that's you today. All your life you've gone a certain direction thinking that this is right, but now you look at the scriptures and see what it says and say, wow, I've not been following the Lord as he has commanded. And salvation isn't up to us, it's up to God. And through salvation we are justified, we are pardoned, and because of that we can take that guilt and turn it into that ugliness that sin produces, and we are sanctified. We are set apart for a purpose. We saw the kind of the parenthesis of speaking with Israel, and as discussing things with Israel, we see how we are grafted in and the opportunity to serve. So as we go through the book of Romans, we have gone from guilt to an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A great opportunity, and thankful for that. Chapter 15 kind of picks up right where we left off with chapter 14. We were talking about some things. What do you do when it's not black and white? What do you do about stumbling blocks and doubtful things and thoughts like that? So we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Chris, can you pray for us this morning? All right, so we come to our first new slide. What do they think? And that's kind of the question as we approach chapter 15 again. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. See, I do want to say something before we continue on. We want to be careful of this mindset. Me as a, maybe as you're saying this, me as a mature Christian, I have the liberty and the right to do these things. And it's no harm and it's no sin. And what needs to happen is that the younger, weaker Christian needs to get on board, figure things out, and be where I'm at. Well, Paul has a different thought. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Although we are trying to encourage those weak to come up, we also kind of bring ourselves down. And not to please ourselves, but look at verse 2. But let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Even though the activity might not harm you, what value is there in harming someone else, right? We need to remember that as we look at chapter 15, verse 3. The perfect example is Jesus Christ. And it says, for even Christ pleased not himself. We live in a society that is consumed with, what do you want to do for you? How does this help you? How do you come out? What are your thoughts? Yeah, but that's not, Christ didn't even act like that. And he had every right to act like that. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Jesus Christ is a perfect example of this thought. When faced with a doubtful situation, you need to consider what others may think about your choice and how it may affect their Christian life. Now, of course, there is a balance to this. You can't walk around every single moment thinking, there does need to be some consideration, right? I mean, there does need to be some thought of your fellow Christian, the fellow man around you, the testimony that this does portray. And I think that kind of the first few verses of chapter 15 kind of sum up that those doubtful things. Again, as we said last week, it's an attitude. It's an attitude. Good morning, sir. How are you today? Good. What's your name?
Miguel.
Miguel, I spoke to you on the phone.
Yes,
wonderful. Wonderful. This is Roy here, and wonderful. It's good to have you here today. We're going through the book of Romans chapter 15, and good to have you. So as we kind of say, how's that going? Great. I'm feeling great. As we capsulize that thought of doubtful things, this is the summary thought. Be considerate of those that are around you. Again, I sense, or more times than not, I feel like it's the opposite of it. It is, hey, listen, you just don't know. You need to get where I'm at. And that's the fix to it, rather than humbling ourselves. Again, I understand there's a balance here, and we got to be careful that we not go to an extreme with that. But Paul gives us the example of Christ, and I think it's worthwhile at least considering in our own heart. He goes on to talk more of these things as he concludes this thought. We see over the next number of verses how salvation brings the Jew and Gentile together. It is the same plan for everybody at this point. And praise the Lord for that. As we look at chapter 15, looking in verse 14, we see these. Look at these words that Paul says to the church here. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. What a great testimony. Hey, what's the Church of Rome like? What are the Romans like? They were full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. And because of that, because they had knowledge, they were able to take this instruction and look at the bottom, the last part of verse 14, able also to admonish one another. Hey, they helped one another. Hey, there might have been some areas where maybe as we look back, as they go through this process, maybe there was some that were weak in sanctification or didn't understand the magnitude of justification, or maybe struggling with the Gentiles and the Jews doing similar things, and how could this be? But they had some knowledge, they had the right heart, they were filled with goodness, and because of that, they were able to encourage one another. What a great strength to the church. What a great strength to these that are believers here in Romans. And Paul here says he told them that they were full of goodness. Paul didn't write the letter because they were doing something wrong. They had knowledge and they took that instruction, and it ended up being for their benefit. It helped them. As we continue on in the next verse, in verse 15, it says this, and Paul can do things. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort. Do we not agree, as we read through the book of Romans, he held back nothing. He was very straightforward. He did not kind of dance around difficult topics. He went right after. I'll tell you, as a pastor, some of the hardest discussions that you'll have are about some of those stumbling blocks and things. Why? Because it's perception, it's attitude, it's humility. And he just said, hey, let's tackle this. Let's talk about this. Let's strengthen one another through this. And praise the Lord, they came out the better for it. As we read in verse 15 again, it says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Here again, we see the inclusion of the Gentiles in the plan of salvation. Understand that this is somewhat of a foreign concept as of the last 30 years. Paul told them that, so Paul had the responsibility of preaching to the Gentiles and the message, the message of Christ. That's what he was in verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. That's what he was. He went around and he preached these things in verse, which again, this is kind of a neat thing. Paul, he was the missionary of missionaries. In verse 20, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So let's think about that. Paul had the responsibility of preaching to the Gentiles. Paul was a missionary. He went to where people didn't know about Christ. So as we read through the book of Romans, I feel like this is a lesson plan, if you will, or a format that Paul had used in many places. Say, why do you think that? I think that because as we look through the book of Romans, it takes every single person and brings them to the need of Christ and then the ability to serve Christ, no matter where you're at. If you're in some foreign country that had never heard of, he wasn't looking to just pad the numbers or something like that. He was going where Jesus wasn't known. Paul hadn't visited Rome yet. There were believers that met him in other places and then settled in Rome. This was a gift for the saints, and he went there, look at verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Here he is collecting for the Jews that are going through a rough time, a great time of persecution. He begs them in verse 30 for prayer. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul's begging them, please pray. Paul does get to Rome. Probably not the way he had anticipated. In verse 32, it says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Well, Paul went to Rome after spending 2 years in jail, being apprehended in Jerusalem. Look with me in Acts chapter number 22. Hold your hand in Acts 22. Paul was warned. He was dutifully warned. Do not go to Jerusalem. And Paul says, no, I want to go to Jerusalem. And as in Jerusalem, this is what happened, chapter 22 and verse 25. And they bound him with thongs. Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, it is lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned. As we fast forward, look at chapter, so for the next, as you turn your pages of your Bible until you get to chapter 28, this is Paul's interaction in jails and going before people trying to plead his case. Paul finally arrives in Rome in Acts chapter 28. This is some 2 to 3 years later. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And as you can read the rest of the chapter, that's Paul's account of his time in Rome. He does get there. Probably not the way he had anticipated, probably not the way he had hoped, probably not the way in his mind it was going to go, but he does get there in Romans chapter 15. He does come, but unfortunately by jail. In Romans chapter 16, as we go through, how many of you have ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? Anybody ever hear of J. Vernon McGee? J. Vernon McGee said about chapter 16, it says, Paul has left the mountain peaks of doctrine to come down to the pavements of Rome. Say, well, what does that mean? Well, certainly the teachings of Paul hit some major points of doctrine as we studied, right? I mean, we see justification, we see imputation, we saw salvation, we see all of these things. And then in chapter 16, he kind of takes it one different direction, and he's just going to talk about some people that have been a help to him. And it reminds me of just, and you all could tell the same story, but some people that have been some help to you, right? I mean, if we walk down these halls and maybe at some point you were in a different classroom, or someday someone was praying with you at this altar, or there was a need at your home, and all of a sudden a bunch of guys came and helped you with that or whatever. And you could do a Romans chapter 16 also. But Paul names 35 people here in chapter 16, people that love the Lord. And we're going to look at a few of them and see what made them so special. We will not do a complete study of every single person, but there are some people that stood out, and I think it's worth mentioning. Chapter 16 starts with a lady. Her name is Phoebe. It says this, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. So I do want to remind us of this. Again, in our logical thoughts, as we go back through, we're guilty, we're saved, we're justified, we're sanctified, talking about Israel. And the final chapters of Romans is encouraging us to serve God. And here he gives us 35 examples of people in the book of in the church of Rome that serve the Lord. Man, what a great testimony of that. Here we have Phoebe. Phoebe must have been some special lady, so much so that he entrusted Phoebe with this letter. Verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. She is the one that brought this letter to Paul, entrusting her with this letter. As we go on to the next one, and this is who I mentioned at the beginning, we have a husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila. When we were little kids, I don't know why, we got twin little kittens. My mom named them Priscilla and Aquila. It's tough for me to think of Priscilla and Aquila as people, but in my mind, they're two little gray and black, gray and white kittens. But here these two are. They're mentioned multiple times in the scriptures. I think five or six different times. Wait, one, two, three, four, five times in the scriptures. Each time their names are mentioned with one another. You don't find Priscilla and then Aquila. It's them together. They serve the Lord together. Again, another great testimony. The first person we have was Phoebe, a woman, serving the Lord. Here we have a husband and wife team serving the Lord. They weren't pastor or something like that, but they were a help to Paul. Let's look at some verses here about Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at what it says of them. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Once again, we're going to get to heaven someday, and we're going to get to hear the backstory of all this. What does that mean? What happened? What were the circumstances? What is it that Priscilla and Aquila did? How did they save the church? What were these two people like? We'll find out someday, but turn with me to Acts chapter 18. They're mentioned three times in the book of Acts chapter 18. (Clears throat) had a common bond. They were in the church of Corinth, and after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla. Those are our people, right? Because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, what does that mean? They had the same job. He abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. A lot of men are bivocational, meaning a lot of pastors do pastoring and also have a job. And praise the Lord that isn't the case necessarily here, but it's okay to do that. It's okay. Here, an encouragement. They found themselves doing the same thing. They would make tents. It was kind of like a home builder or something of that degree. So they were tent makers. Again, telling us, you know, they were fully committed. They were fully committed to the service of God, but at the same time, work jobs. And what an encouragement to just the everyday person, right? I mean, just here's what they did. They worked and they served the Lord. Look at chapter 18, verse 18. Acts 18, 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there, took a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. He makes a Jewish vow and shaves his head, and here with him on his trip is who? Priscilla and Aquila, serving right by his side. In the same chapter, look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, and this is what we were speaking of at the beginning of our lesson, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He hadn't been brought up to speed on the things that have transpired. Well, praise the Lord, he runs into some people that do know, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. What do we see there? We see a lot of things. We see a man who was steadfast in his thoughts and then was showed the way more perfectly, humbled himself, changed his view of things, aligned with scriptures, and then went out and taught Jesus everywhere. Man, that would be a tough thing, wouldn't it? That would be admitting, hey, I don't know everything. Man, I have some, I was off. Could you imagine? And Apollos humbles himself, thankfully, for the gentleness and kindness and the persuasion of Aquila and Priscilla to be able to take the love of God and transfer that to Apollos. What a great couple. We see them again in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. This will be the last verse we look at about Aquila and Priscilla. 16:19 says this, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Is that why they laid down there, as the Bible said in Romans chapter 16, that they who have for my life laid down their own necks? Is that by having a church in their own home? Is that what that was? I don't know. But they we see a lot of things here. We see that they were fellow laborers with Paul. They went on trips with him. They were had a direct hand in the conversion of Apollos and had church in their own house. And these were some dedicated people. Paul wants to mention them and say, hey, these people have been hugely helpful. We have some fun names that we're going to do our best with. Pantheus and Urbane. Man, where's the Jims and the Bobs and the, you know, even Roy? Where's Roy? I don't know. But chapter 16, verse 5 of Romans. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. It says first fruits, so maybe one of the first, if not the first convert of Paul. So that guy was someone special. That was someone special to Paul. First convert in Achaia. His name means praised. Urbane, no great revelation here. His name means from the city. You can almost see urban, right? And but the Bible says in chapter 16, in verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Our helper. And there's people all along the way. Well, turn to 2 Urbane. We don't have Urbane. Let's read about Urbane and Acts. What did he do? I don't know. But there's been people all along the way that were great helpers. That just added to it. This guy means praised. Does this man, just by coincidence, or was he one of stature and prominence and comes to the Lord and uses that for his honor and glory? I don't know, but again, there's been people all throughout, and you think, oh, I'm nobody. I'm just here just doing my thing and serving the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. You're a great help. Just because maybe you're not doing, you're not preaching Sunday morning doesn't mean Paul, there was only one Paul, but man, there were a lot of people that were a support to him. Take comfort and encouragement in that of how important you are here. Look at these two ladies. We have Tryphena and Tryphosa. Great. I'm sure they're, look at what their names mean. Delicate and dainty. You know what I think? I think it's like I have no, here. Go chapter 16, verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. I think of these like two just sweet little old grandmas, right? Just delicate and dainty. You know, just cleaning things up, handling things, just serving the Lord. Just little ladies, Tryphena and Tryphosa. And praise the Lord for all the little delicate and dainty grandmas we have around this place that just are an encouragement and a help. In chapter 16, verse 22, well, here, wait, I have, wait, I have more. 16:22, it says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. So the scribe, the author of Paul's secretary here, and chapter 16, verse 23, Gaius, my host. Again, people that were just a help to Paul along the way. I don't have it written down, but I think we do need to read verse 21. Timotheus, my fellow worker, Lucius, and Jason, right? I mean, Jason, you're in there. Your name's in the Bible. All right, very good. Praise the Lord. How many of you know any children named Sosipater? Anyways, my kinsman. Praise the Lord, some of those names have dropped off the map there. But again, we see some people. Paul didn't write this physically. Paul was hosted, had someone take care of him. So as we come to chapter 16 and 24, as we, what can we say? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. All 35 of you. And I'm sure there was many more. In verses 25 and 26, as we conclude this book, now to him that is of power to establish to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul reminds the church that they can be established in the gospel. In my gospel, he says. He is preaching the word of Jesus Christ. A mystery has been revealed. The Jews and Gentiles are both saved by God's grace and are members of one body called the church. What a blessing. Paul's letter was not only written to the Romans and those early church members, but also to us. We need to be established in the truths Paul wrote to the Romans. So as we conclude this, as I told you before, maybe you zoned out for a minute, didn't want to listen to my raspy voice. Here's our final slide. What did you learn? Is there anything that stood out to you as going through the book of Romans that kind of touched your heart as we went through chapter by chapter? Again, we did not go through every verse, but my intention was to be able to see the first chapter and the last chapter at the same time and see where he was going and trying to bridge all of it and see that thread that went through. So was there anything that kind of stood out to you that the Lord spoke to you about or taught you? I know these are all dangerous because then if you don't raise your hand or say anything, then I feel like, well, I did a bad job in teaching, and you know how that is. But or just you don't remember it, and the Lord just showed you innumerable things. You probably have journals at home of all the things that God has touched your heart about. But is there anything that stood out of the book of Romans that was a blessing or a help to you? Pastor Seatman, thank you.